Good morning, Oregon, and a very happy Wednesday to you, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com, check it out, but first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the Bing Cherry, which actually has its roots on a very strange wagon load that crossed the Oregon Trail, a wagon with 700 fruit trees in it. The story was first published on January 11th, 2010, under the headline Bing Cherry Has Roots on Oregon Trail. Here we go. Among cherry aficionados, the deep red Bing cherry is the gold standard. Rich and sweet, almost like chocolate in its intensity of flavor, this cherry utterly dominates the supermarket and is most people's favorite variety. But few people realize that this variety of cherry would not exist today if a Quaker nurseryman named Henderson Llewellyn had not brought its progenitors all the way to Oregon from Iowa along the old Oregon Trail in 1847. Other later events hinged on this as well. Fellow Quaker John Minthorne's Oregon Land Company, 40 years later, made a specialty of developing orchards to sell, a business plan obviously dependent on the tradition that Llewellyn imported and possibly on the nursery stock that he imported as well. And without the Oregon Land Company, Minthorne's teenage nephew, Herbert Hoover, would likely have not have gotten the early training in sound business practices that was to be so important in his early career as an engineer. Llewellyn left the town of Salem, Iowa, in 1847, with a specially constructed wagon full of grafted fruit trees, 700 of them in all, ranging from tiny slips to 4-foot-tall trees. The family, Henderson, his wife Elizabeth, and 8 children, traveled with 2 other Quaker families, the Hockettes and the Fishers. In all, they made up a train of 7 wagons, counting the trees. Along the way, they tried to travel with other emigrants, but friction developed because of the trees. The tree wagon was extraordinarily heavy and hence slow. It also attracted noticeable attention from Native Americans, which made everyone very nervous. So the other emigrants forged ahead. This was likely a mistake on their part. Llewellyn was later told that many Native Americans saw trees as sacred and considered that a wagon carrying trees over the mountains was under the protection of the Great Spirit. Whether for this or other reasons, not only did the Llewellyns have no, quote, Indian trouble, but when the pregnant Elizabeth went into labor during the Columbia River part of the journey, they happily loaded her into a canoe and paddled her to the Dalles for medical attention. She gave birth to the family's 9th child, a girl named Oregon Columbia Llewellyn, on the way there. Then the powerful and dangerous Columbia Cascades had to be shot, trees and all. Again, Native Americans happily helped, retrieving a runaway flatboat that had missed the takeout point and was heading into more danger. By the time Henderson and Elizabeth got to their destination in Milwaukee, they had lost only half their trees, but they'd gained a child and a large cohort of Native friends along the way. They'd also gained the opportunity to start what would become one of Oregon's most important industries. Besides the Bing cherry, the Llewellyn family went on to develop the Black Republican, Lincoln, and Willamette cherries, along with the Golden Prune, the Sweet Alice apple, and several fruits bearing the Llewellyn name. By the way, the story of the Llewellyn's journey is the basis for Deborah Hopkinson's children's book, Apples to Oregon, one of the Oregon Reads book selections for last year's sesquicentennial celebration. The reference to last year, by the way, was from the original text. This was written in 2010. Hopkinson's story springboards off the story to generate a tall tale about the journey with the trees. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, including about 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. You'll also find on the website full citations to sources for this story, which include books by Ralph Beebe and Tricia M. Wagner. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details at offbeatorgan.com/cc. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis anytime soon? Drop me a line when you do, and we'll grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today, so thanks for listening, and have a great day.